from a very, very, very desperate situation. First of all, he was in prison, and he was in the worst of prisons. It's a little amazing, actually, that he was able to get the letter out, because it, from what every historical evidence is, that was like a dungeon that he was locked up in at this point. Number two, he expected to be executed, and he was. Paul, believers, had embraced a lot of false doctrines, so he, by a human standpoint, should have been extremely discouraged. He had taught, given out all of his energies and all of his life, and it didn't look good, because a lot of people were not following what he viewed was a biblical Christianity. They had introduced and were promoting false doctrine, people that should have known better. He writes this letter. If you read through 2 Timothy, it is tremendously personal. But it's like you would expect if you were someone who is dying and you were writing to a dear friend. Would you not be very personal? You wouldn't be, academic. You wouldn't be legal. You would be very compassionate and personal, and you find it in letter. Paul shows his love and tender concern for Timothy in many different ways. We'll look at some of that tonight. And Paul consistently prayed for Timothy. He states that, which is a challenge to me personally. You know, we ought to be praying for individuals on a regular, consistent basis, especially those that we're involved with spiritually. And Paul recalls the tears shed when they last departed. In other words, when he thought about Timothy, he thought about the last time he saw him and remembered how sad it was when they departed. And so that was an emotional situation for a man who was facing death. And Paul expressed his desire to see him again. That was his desire, not necessarily what was to take place in this life. And Paul, I had the last one, reflected on his godly upbringing, Timothy's godly upbringing, as a reminder to Timothy. Wow, you have some real advantages here now, and I'll build off of those advantages. Now, the three challenges that Paul gives to Timothy are important for each one of us to look at. And we're going to look at from passage. I'm just going to give you the answer to the first set of three things here, is that ponder what God has done. That is a great thing for each one of us to do, no matter how bad it may look right now, is to take a serious look at what God has done in our lives and one of those things that have been great blessings. We sing a song, Count Your Blessings, Name Them One by One. It's amazing how we sing about those things, and we'll mention them from time to time, but the truth is, when we really get into dark times, that isn't necessarily what we sit down to do, but we ought to. It'd be really a help to us. Number two, practice what God expects of us. You know, there are certain things that we know we ought to be doing for the Lord and could be doing for the Lord. And again, when the times really get rough, it is very easy to get away from what we know or what God would want. And we just kind of give up and shut down. And the last one is protect what God has given to you. He makes this very definite challenge to Timothy. And the point here is that he said, listen, you've got some responsibilities to keep your walk with the Lord fresh. We have individually, so do you and so do I. It is easy to get busy, easy to get distracted, easy to get discouraged. But here we have a man who is at the end of his life and says, this is what's important. Ponder, practice, protect. Great reminders, and we'll come back to that in just a minute. Let's open with a word of prayer. The ponder, the practice, and the protect concept that Paul was bringing forth, I believe, in the first chapter. In regards to the ponder, Paul, the apostle, he says the apostle, by the will of God, according to the promises of Jesus Christ to Timothy, a beloved son, grace, mercy, peace from God the Father, Lord Jesus Christ. A normal type of introduction for the Apostle Paul, but he was saying this, who is a man who is facing execution himself, and yet he is praying this type of blessing upon someone else. It wasn't first about him. Literally, he states himself, just burden for others, in this case, Paul. He says, I thank God, whom I serve with a pure conscience as my forefathers did. As without ceasing, I remember you in my prayers, night and day, greatly desiring to see that you might, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy when I call to remembrance the genuine faith. So first of all, when we look at this, Paul is encouraged and pondering on the position of his disciple. He was saying, wow, this is really cool. God has used me. Those are my terms. But, you know, Paul would have been thinking, this is really, really, really special. When I think about my life and then I think about how God has had an impact on you, Timothy. And I my heart is warmed by this. That's what he's saying. Remembering the genuine faith. Now, this is a truth that we got to remember between us as a, personally. One of the things, it really is important that we have a genuine faith. Because isn't it crushing when we have people that we perceive are believers and then they start living like the world? It crushes us because we aren't able to say what Paul is able to say here about Timothy. Then it becomes overwhelming. We get burdened for them. We get frustrated on what could I have done and all of those other thoughts. So it says that if we want to be a blessing to others, make sure we live a genuine faith to be an encouragement. And then he speaks about Timothy's mom and grandmother and what a blessed, godly women they were to help him. And then it goes on to say, therefore I remember you to stir up the gift. I remind you to stir up the gift of God. Okay, so what's going on here? Timothy is told, listen. Listen, you've got to be working on being the person that God wants you to be. Stir it up. Does it sound like Paul was saying to Timothy, you got some responsibility? I say to all of us in here, and I'm saying it to myself, I have a responsibility, no matter what I face, to stir up the gift of God in my life. It is a phenomenal reality, which is in you through the laying on of hand. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Think about this. Paul was saying to Timothy, listen, you've got power. You may not feel it. Now, Timothy was a timid, shy type of person, apparently, even though he had great responsibility. He was reminded of his power and of the love and of the sound mind. You can think through this. And what he's saying there, I believe, is you got to think through this biblically and recognize God's on the throne, even though you may be facing some challenges. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the suffering for the gospel according to the power of God. So when we talk about the practice now, notice what he is saying to him. Not what we're stirring up now and pondering, but he is saying, now you got to get to work. And the get to work doesn't necessarily deal with being having life really go well. It just has a whole lot to do with serving Jesus. Do you sense what he's saying to him? Hey, you know, don't be moaning and groaning here. Get fired up about the Lord and get engaged. And prepare yourself because, listen, it's very likely not going to go smooth. The worldly people and the worldly culture in which we live is going to push back, Timothy, but share in my suffering. And then the practice continues. Who has saved us and called us to a holy calling, for according to our work, but according to his own purposes and grace, which is given to us in Christ Jesus before time began, but has now been revealed by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Okay. You understand what Paul is saying to Timothy? He's a man who is facing imminent execution. And he has biblical truth that all of us as believers need to think about. This life is not what it's all about. And this life doesn't end with our last breath. Our life is immortal because of what Jesus Christ has done. We have a beautiful existence for all eternity, no matter how rough it is in the suffering that he had talked about before, in the light of the good news. Now, a truth that he's not pointing out here, although he points it out other places, if you think that you could have one of two choices, you could choose Christ and then have life eternal in heaven, or choose not to accept Christ, and then you'll not exist. Annihilation? That is not at all what Scripture teaches. The wrath of God abides on those that do not believe in Jesus Christ. And it is everlasting, everlasting torment, everlasting punishment. Those are the types of phrases and terminology that surround the thought of not knowing Jesus Christ. So it's a reminder to every one of us, make sure we know Jesus. For this reason, the practice, in other words, he's saying, for this reason, I also suffer these things. For what reason, Paul, do you suffer these things? Isn't that a great reason, question to ask yourself? For the fact that I know Jesus, and you can know Jesus. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him until that day. Paul is saying to Timothy, you know what? I suffer all of this because I have a proper perspective on life. It is not about having it easy. It's not about having financial wealth. It's not about having physical well-being. It is about serving Jesus, recognizing that it may even take the very human life as we know it from him. But he says, that doesn't matter. Because I know, he was saying, I know whom I believed. And I am convinced and persuaded that he will care for me. When he takes his last breath, Paul had confidence that when he took his last breath, he'd be absent from this body and present with his Lord for all eternity. You know, we talked about grief on Sunday, and I forgot to share probably the most significant comment that I've ever heard in this whole area, and I can't believe I preached on the topic and then left this statement out. Janice Willis went through, Scott and Janice Willis are the people that actually allowed us to borrow the money to buy this church. You know, they gave it to us, but then we turned it around and made it into an interest-free loan that we are paying off. And their commitment, by the way, was so strong to that that they said, no, you know what, at this point, even though you paid only a little over half of it back, I don't want it back, any of the rest of it. I don't need it. Why don't you pick somebody that needs it as a missionary and support them? And that's what we've done. That's why we support Sam Boudet and his ministry. Now, what's the significance here? She and her husband were given some, I think it was $74 million in a lawsuit because of the death of their six children, which they saw, they witnessed, they were in the same car, and they were also burnt very badly, burn up before their eyes. You know what she said about handling grief? Says, this thought, more than any other, sustained me. I remind myself, again, this is, I'm going to get this quote as close to the right words as I can. Anytime I'm grieving about this, I remind myself that my greatest loss was the same instant of my children's greatest joy. They're present with the Lord. Think about that in regards to the loss of a loved one if they know Jesus. It hurts when we lose a loved one, doesn't it? Not? It hurts. But if they know the Lord, we can comfort ourselves that as much as we hurt, it is dwarfed with the joy that that individual who we love is experiencing. That's a sweet truth. It kind of changes the whole thought. Okay, why am I grieving? Let's say no longer am I grieving for that person. No, that's wrong. I'm not grieving. I am celebrating for the person. I'm grieving for myself. And so now and by the way, once you figure that out, it helps you handle grief. You recognize you're mourning for your loss, which is not inappropriate. I'm not saying it's inappropriate. But when we have it twisted in our mind, oh, it's so bad that they're gone. It's so bad they didn't get to see this. How many times have you heard, my mother-in-law died just before my one son got married. And at the wedding, there was, oh, it's too bad. Elaine wasn't here to see this. She wanted to see this. No. That was faulty thinking. She was far better off. She was absent from the body and present with the Lord. It's sad for us that she's not here. But for her, life got better. There's no indication that anybody gets to heaven and wants to come back. It doesn't work that way. Because it's so much sweeter. And you know what? Is that not a comfort for us to practice doing what we ought to do, serving the Lord like we ought to serve? Amen? You know, just listen, we're working on something that has eternal value, eternal significance. Now we're moving, this practice, he told us to stir up our gifts. He told us to be fearless, strong, and loving in verse 7. He told us in verse 8, be unashamed of Jesus or other brothers who are living for the Lord. Be ready to suffer for Jesus, because that's just the way life is as a believer. And guard the great body of spiritual truth that has been given to us. That's what Timothy was told to do. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. Are you working at all and stirring up your faith and getting excited about Jesus? Or are you overwhelmed with your circumstances? Are you fearless, strong, and loving? You know what's hard about that? Is you want to say, I'm not fearless. I'm frightened. I'm frightened right now. And I don't feel strong. I feel weak. I'm overwhelmed with the circumstances. I don't feel loving or loved. I feel like abused. Now, isn't that kind of the way life gets at times? But you know what? We need to choose to believe Scripture and get a different perspective. Protect. Now, notice how this closes. Hold fast. What do you think that means? It means grab hold, right? It means exactly what it said. You get a grip and hold on because it's important. Don't let go. Hold fast the pattern of sound words. What is he saying? He says, hold fast the teachings of God's word. Hold on to it. Don't let it drift away from you, which you have heard from me in faith and love of Christ. The good things which was committed to you, keep by the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. In other words, keep it. We are to pay attention to it. We're to hold on to it. We're to cherish it. We're to love it. Which, this, you know, that all those in Asia have turned away from me. And then he lists these two. What is Timothy being told? Listen, a reminder. Some of the people you know I was trusting in bailed on me right now at the end of my life. But that does not discourage me from holding on to the truths that I know are eternal. And hold on, Timothy, because it isn't going to be any different for you. People will disappoint us. Ever been disappointed by somebody? I mean, isn't it the disappointment we have in people that takes us so low? So many times it's people that are close to us, people that we love, people that we were just really counting on. They ought to be here alongside of us, helping us, and instead they go south. And you want to grab a brick and throw it at them. You feel like this is ridiculous. Listen, we ought to be going through life together. We ought to be working on these problems as a family unit or as friends, as neighbors. We ought to be together. And no, that isn't the way. A lot of times you've got to walk pretty much solo with the Lord. That's just the way it is. We wish it wouldn't be that way, but that's the way it is. And then it says, the Lord grant mercy, unmerited favor to us, to the household of Onesimus, who was one who really served him. For he often refreshed me, has not ashamed of my chains, but was when he arrived in Rome, he sought me out very zealously and found me. And the Lord grant to him that he may find mercy from the Lord in that day. And you know very well how many times he ministered to me in Ephesus. You know what Paul was saying to Timothy? He's saying, remember, I just want you to know, this man has been a great blessing to me, and I am praying that God will bless him because of it. You know what it says to me? I want to be like that man. I want to find other believers that are hurting and be a blessing to them, so that they are thanking the Lord because of my involvement in their lives. And it's not just me. That's what ought to be our heart. No matter what problems we're having, we say, forget that. I am going to focus on being God's instrument of blessing in the lives of others. And I'll just trust God for the outcome. So we got to ponder what God has done. Practice what God expects of us. And protect what God has given to us. Now, before I go further, I want to ask, what has God done for you that stands out in your mind? Okay, well, hold on a second. I'm going to give you a mic so the rest can hear. I am grabbing the one that is white tape that says black. I always thought that was cool.
God has forgiven me for when I act really stupid.
Yeah, amen. It's actually right behind it, so...
Wonderful peace in the midst of trying circumstances.
Oh, amen. Adam's right there. You can have peace in the midst of trying situations. We can have forgiveness when we have chosen poorly. Aren't those wonderful truths? Others?
Victory.
Victory, absolutely.
Through my suffering, I'm able to help other people through their sufferings.
Yeah. Sweet. In the back? But see, these things are good for us to think about here. Go ahead.
Just what all I feel burdened with and all my worldly, what I need to do, this is what I need right here, just a place to come to with.
Amen.
To feel the Holy Spirit, exactly right now.
Yeah. Well, the world and life gets scary, doesn't it? You know, when I ponder what God has done, there are just kind of like an unlimited list. Howard is going to be next, so go ahead.
But the Lord God is always, in every situation, whether it's protecting me at my job or protecting me on the road or whatever, in the neighborhoods where we live, God has always provided a way out. Mm-hmm. And He has always delivered us.
Yeah.
Every time.
You know, I think of the reality that probably 6 months or 7 months ago, there was a lot of gunshots right outside our window at our house. And police officers came, and it was late at night. I was out there talking to them, and they said, why do you live here? You know, so I had an opportunity to talk about the church and what we were doing here. And I mentioned to him, I said, you know, as long as I've lived in the house, which is now, it's been a lot of years, since 2001, so 14, 15 years, to my knowledge, there's not a single bullet hole in our house. Not one. Which is really stunning when you understand how many times guns have been shot in the area. And he wouldn't believe me. I said, well, you know, it's a big house and I might not be able to see one up in the rafter or whatever, but I don't know of a single one. And I recognize that that's the hand of God. God just protects it. You know, if my number is up, my appointed time is up tonight, well, then it's going to be over. But it hasn't been yet, and God protects. It's there's sweetness to it. You know what? We better keep moving here. So come up here, and then we're going to have testimonies. You know what? We'll do that. We're running out of time here, so we'll do fine. We're going to have testimonies of praise after this hymn. Just testimonies of how God has blessed you. Okay, and just to encourage, I particularly am hoping that you might share a verse that has just been uplifting to your heart so that the rest of us can be uplifted. And by the way, when you read the verse, if that's what you're going to do, would you read the reference and read it slow enough so we can understand it? You know, sometimes we quote our favorite verses or those important verses so fast that the other person doesn't have a chance to really reflect on it. Amen? And we need to be encouraged tonight. Amen? That can hold us back. In some respects, they were shared just in the reverse of it tonight in our testimonies. The first one is fear. When we don't understand what tomorrow holds, instead of trusting God and getting exciting, and one of the things I've been learning to ask, learning to pray. As much as when people were asking me to do things, I finally came to the conclusion, I'm not going to ask whether I can do this or not. I'm going to ask, is there any reason why I can't do it? And it just was, I've had such much more peace since I started asking that question. Because there are sometimes, I can't help you. But it keeps me from being selfish because I think through it a different way. Really, is there any reason why you couldn't be God's instrument of blessing in this other person's life? That's basically what I'm asking myself. When it comes to fear, instead of God, what in the world? Help me. This is out of control. Instead of that, I've started to pray this way in those situations. And I'm talking about situations that look very, very dark. And they look like they got only a bad outcome coming. You know what we're talking about, right? We all have these times in our life. Instead, I am saying, Lord, I'm so glad that you're sovereign and not me. And I am going to be excited to see how you handle this. Lord, just help me see it clearly. And help me be on your team in this and not working against you. You see the difference in that fear? Instead of, okay, I'm just going to see what God's going to do. Number two, shame. Man, does shame keep a lot of people that ought to be doing more for the Lord from doing it? Because they messed up in the past. That's ridiculous. God is not the God who has us living in the past. He has us living in the present with an eye on the future. That's so different. That's why Paul says, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth to those things which are before, I press forward. Isn't that a much better philosophy for life? It's biblical. That's why it's better. And if we ask for forgiveness, he promised in his word that he'll cleanse us and to forgive us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:9, he promised, not me, God did. Why would we think God can't do it? And you know what? In this group here tonight, there's many of us. Wow. What God has done. The transformation in lives. And the forgiveness. And the excitement of being able to go forward and say, listen, I am a man of Christ. I am a woman of the Lord. And it's not defining me what happened in the past any longer. And then regrets, like shame, regrets have a way of discouraging us. And the truth is, if I look back over my walk with the Lord, there are many periods of time that I said, man, I regret that I didn't do more. But see, that's foolish thinking. We can wallow in that forever. Instead, we need to get over that and serve the Lord today in the current sense. I'm just going to quickly show you this fear. He says, God hath not given us a spirit of fear. That's of the evil one. And so we just need to call it for what it is and say, Lord, give me that power you promised, that love, and that sound mind in the midst of that. The shame. Notice he'll say this two different times, 1 and 8 and 1 again in 16. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now that is getting to be a bigger deal in our culture because it's become, but the only thing you can't say you are is a Christian without expecting some pushback. It's sad, but that's where we're at. 12 says it here. For this reason I also suffer these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed. Can we really say that? I hope we can, because that's key. My Lord and His grace to save my soul, I don't care if the world rejects it. I know it to be true. And then in verse 16, the Lord grant mercy to the household of Onesimus, for he often refreshed me and was not ashamed. He reached out to other believers. And the regrets. I serve with a pure conscience. If you have regrets, we know we all have them in some respects, but we cannot allow them to define our life, one. And number two, make sure it starts with just getting right with Him. He says we're to come, we don't have to go to a priest, we don't have to go to someone else, we need to bow our heads and pray out to the Lord, say, Lord, I just want you to know that I am very, very, very much in understanding that that was wicked and sinful and I did wrong. Forgive me and give me the power to live differently going forward. Don't let me use this as an excuse that, hey, I've got this weakness. I always go this direction. This is the way I am. No, 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 no. We are dead to ourselves and to be alive to Christ. Share with me, Paul was saying, in the suffering according to His own purpose and grace. God has a plan for you and a plan for me, and we've got to make that our purpose. We only have a few minutes left. Can we just take prayer requests? Maybe we'll take you. I'll just start writing them down here.